and him alone. We don't add to it and we don't take away from it. In fact, if we add to it, we take away from it. The gospel is about Jesus. Now, Colossians is a book of two halves. The first two chapters point to Jesus Christ and his lordship, his glory as Lord of heaven and earth. And then chapters 3 and 4 are the application of the letter, how we should live in light of Jesus as Lord of heaven and earth, what it means to live as a follower of him. And we've seen in verse 17 that we're to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Everything we do is, as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, is meant to be formed by, guided by, directed by our faith in Jesus Christ. We're to do everything for him and because of him. Now, what does that look like in the nitty-gritty of life? What's it look like in particular in our relationship with other people? Well, that's what Paul goes on to talk about in these verses 18 to chapter 4, verse 1. They're often referred to as the household code. He talks about them in Ephesians as well. How we live out our life in these relationships and the key relationships that he talks about. The relationships of marriage, wives and husbands. The relationship of family, parents and children. And the relationship of work, slaves and masters. And last week we looked at the first of those relationships, the relationships between a wife and a husband. And one of the purposes of marriage, of course, is to have children. It's the primary purpose of marriage. And this week, therefore, we're going to talk about the relationship between children and parents. What should that relationship be like as Christians? And it's such an important relationship. You know, your parents are, or have been, the most influential people in your life. They're the most influential people to make you who you are. Your parents have so much influence and power over you for good or for bad. And so what does it mean to live as Christian parents, and what does it mean to live as Christian children, and how on earth can we do it? So that's what we're going to think about this evening. What are children to do? What are parents to do? And how can they both do it? What are children to do? What are parents to do? And how can they both do it? So what are children to do? How are children to relate to their parents? Well, it says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Now, the first thing I just want to mention from the start is that Paul here addresses children directly. When this letter was first read out to the church in Colossae, he expected children to be part of the congregation there. In fact, in this household code, he expects wives and husbands and children and parents and slaves and masters to all be together in the same church. You don't have different churches for different groups or separate children away. We do gospel kids here on a Sunday morning, which is good because it's age-appropriate teaching. But children should be listening to the same message that the parents are hearing. It's the same Bible. It's the same gospel. See, Paul's expecting children to be part of the church, to hear what God has got to say to them, as well as to other parts and members of the church community. Now, this word children, the word children can refer to a person of any age who's a child. But probably here, Paul is talking about dependent children. Children who are at home, as it were, dependent on their parents. That's why he calls on them to obey. He's talking about small children. Not tiny children who maybe can't understand what's being said, but children who live at home. And what are children to do who live at home? they are to obey their parents. To obey their parents completely. Paul here doesn't bring in any qualifications. It's a universal command. You obey your parents in everything. Now, of course, we want to raise some questions, naturally, straight away. What about parents who are abusive? What about parents who tell you to do something which is unbiblical? And, of course, we would say children shouldn't submit and obey parents who are wanting them to do those things or acting in those ways. But I think one of the reasons Paul doesn't qualify this is because there is a sense in which, as a young child, especially a young child who is a Christian, that obedience is the primary thing that's required of you. If you are a Christian child in particular, you should consider obeying your parents. Because not only are your parents older than you and therefore wiser, by and large, but also your parents are Christians who want what's best for you, who are trying to bring you up, however imperfectly, in the Christian faith. And that, we're told, that sort of obedience to Christian parents pleases the Lord. That is, it's a relationship that's appropriate in the church community. So what does it mean? What's it mean to obey your parents? What would it mean for very young children to obey their parents? Well, I think, to begin with, a very young child who's still in the high chair would obey their parents when the parents say, "Do not throw food off the high chair," to stop doing it. You may have to instruct them. We even had to tap our children on the wrist to encourage them not to do that. But children are meant to obey. What does it mean for a slightly older child, say at primary school, to obey their parents? Well, I think it means not to answer back. But when your parent asks you to clean your teeth, to go and do it. And not answer back and say, "Why should I bother cleaning my teeth? I did it this morning. I don't need to do it again." You see, your parents have your best interests at heart. Trust them. Obey them. When you get older, you can decide how many times a day or a week or a month or a year you want to clean your teeth. But when you're a child, you obey. What does it mean as a teenager? I think as a teenager, it means not to grumble. I think this is the perennial issue of teenagers. It seems to be, because I was a teenager once and I grumbled a lot when my parents asked me to do things, and I see the same kind of characteristic coming out in teenagers today. It's not that a teenager doesn't do what their parents say. It's not even that a teenager at times doesn't answer back. It's that they grumble when they do ask to do something. "Oh, why is it always me who has to do this? Why can't it be my brother? Why can't it be my sister? I'm always being told to do these things." As a teenager, it's not grumbling. It's obeying your parents and doing so with a happy heart. What does it mean for those of us who no longer live under the roof of our parents? Does this have any application at all? Because this is talking about obeying your parents in everything. And it's talking about children who are dependent. Well, in some sense, it doesn't have anything to say. Because when you're no longer dependent on your parents, you shouldn't obey them. You're not required to obey them. But that doesn't mean to say that you don't relate to them. Paul in Ephesians, when he talks about children obeying the parents, talks about honouring your parents as well, because he goes back to the fifth commandment in Exodus chapter 20. And in the fifth commandment, God says, honour your father and your mother. Not obey your father and mother, because there comes a point in time when you need to make decisions for yourself. You're living independent of your parents. You don't need to obey them. But every child needs to honour their parents. Now, you may have had parents who treated you badly, parents who failed you, parents who let you down, parents who abandoned you or even betrayed you. Or you might have had good parents. parents who loved you well and brought you up in the faith with a real deep love and affection for them and for God. It doesn't matter whether you've had a good experience of parents or bad experience of parents, you should honour your parents. Now, what does it mean to honour your parents? Well, it doesn't mean to say that you love them, or trust them, or admire them. Because for some parents, you can't do that. Parents who are evil, you can't like. Parents who are unfaithful, you can't trust. Parents who mess up and have messed up their life, you don't necessarily admire. But the Bible doesn't say that you need to love them, trust them. It says you need to honour them. And to honour your parents means to decide in your heart that you're going to treat your parents with dignity, with respect, with loyalty, and to practice that in your life. What does that mean? I think it means you don't speak badly about them to others. Even when they haven't treated you right, there's an honour, there's a respect you have towards them. They're still your parents. Where possible, it's to involve them in your life. Sometimes it's easy to do that. Sometimes it's hard to do that. But work hard to do that. And finally, it's to care for them when they're old. And there's a full circle here. They cared for you when you were young, and when you didn't give them much back. We have to care for our parents when they're old, even when they might not give us much back. So all of us are called to honour our parents. But if you have a child here who's dependent on your parents, the command is quite clear. You're to obey your parents and obey them in everything, in every aspect of your life, in your education, in your teeth cleaning, in whatever else they ask you to do. So that's what children are to do. What are parents to do? Fathers, verse 21, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. One of the interesting things here, of course, is that instead of talking about parents, Paul now talks about fathers. That doesn't mean to say he's ignoring mothers. He's spoken about parents being obeyed in verse 20. And maybe he does that because both mothers and fathers are to be obeyed by their children. And sometimes some children can end up obeying fathers maybe more quickly than they obey mothers. But children are to obey both. Doesn't matter who asks you to do something. But here, he begins with fathers. And maybe this is because sometimes fathers can be a little bit more absent from their children than mothers are. And Paul's saying, look, fathers, you need to take some responsibility here with the children. In fact, perhaps raising children is not just a mother's job. Parents are to do it together. Fathers, you've got a big responsibility here. How should fathers treat their children? Well, they're not to embitter them. They're not to provoke them that they might become discouraged. To provoke here means to embitter. It means to anger your child so that when they get a chance, they would want to rebel from you. As soon as they get a chance to leave home and fly the nest, they want to do that. Why? Because you've made them angry. You've embittered them. You know, as soon as they go off somewhere, they don't want to come back. They don't really want to involve you in their life. They don't want to be involved in your faith because there's resentment that's grown in their heart towards you because of the way that you've treated them. So how does that happen? How does it happen that a father or a mother can embitter and anger their children, provoke them? Well, I think it happens in two ways. The first way that a father can provoke their child is by being too harsh with them, by being too strict, too demanding, too controlling, always telling them what to do, always trying to control their behavior. Always saying no whenever they come and ask you for something. No, you can't be doing that. You've got to be doing this. I've told you what to do. Trying to control their life. Now, it's fine to control the life of a child when they're 18 months old. But when a child is 10 or when a child is 16, you're to allow them to have some independence. And so you can provoke them by being too controlling, by being too harsh, or by putting them down. I've seen this with a boy a while ago, and it was really sad. The parents had two children, a boy and a girl, and they would always be bigging up the girl and telling other parents how great she was. But with the boy, he was always a letdown. He was never good enough at extracurricular activities. He's not doing well enough at school. Always harsh with them. Why does a parent treat the child like that? I think it's because the parents are insecure. A father is insecure when he treats his child like that. Insecure because they're afraid of how the child's going to turn out. They're afraid that the child's going to be a disappointment to them and it's going to turn out badly. And why is a parent insecure and fearful of that? Because they're putting too much weight on that child. The child has too much weight in their life. They make an idol of the child. You know, my child's got to turn out right. They've got to do really well at this and really well at that. They've got to do well at all these things because otherwise my life's not worth living. They make the child the idol of their life. And why would you do that? Because you don't see that the child ultimately doesn't belong to you. He or she belongs to God. You're simply a steward, stewarding God's children. And you're meant to steward them by loving them well. So the first way that a father can provoke his children is by being too harsh with them. But the second way a father or a parent can provoke their children is by being too soft with them. By letting them do whatever they want. Or worse still, by being absent from their life. Always saying yes to the children. Or being controlled by whatever the children want to do. I was told recently about a Christian family, and the family were asked, you know, why aren't you going to church at the moment? And the response was, well, our 8-year-old child doesn't want to go to church, and so we're not going. Well, if you're Christian parents, you take your child to church when they're 8 years old, whether they like to go or not. When they get older, they can decide for themselves, but if they're dependent on you, you're the parents, you make the decisions. So, but why would Christian parents say that and do that? It's because, again, they're insecure. They're fearful that their child might not like them, might disapprove of them. And so because they want the child to like them, they do whatever the child wants and whatever the child says. Again, they're putting too much weight on the children. They're making an idol of their child. And why would you do that? Because you don't see God's approval. You don't see God's approval for yourself. And so you live to get approval from your children. And what does God want? He wants you to know his approval, that you might set good boundaries for the children which he's given you to steward. And so there are times where you have to say no. There are times where you have to ask them to do things which you know that they won't want to do. But that's good for them. What's the opposite of embittering your child? Because if that's what it means to embitter your child and to provoke them, what's the opposite of embittering your child? Well, the opposite of embittering your child is to get children who want to please you, who want to do what you ask them to do, who know your love, and knowing your love, want a relationship with you. Children who want to talk to you about what's going on in their life. Children who want to share their faith with you and want you to share your faith with them. You see, a child like that, a child who has that sort of relationship with their parents, does what their parents ask them to do and does it with a happy heart. And when somebody says to them, you know, why are you doing this and not doing that? They say, well, because mummy's asked me to do it. Because daddy's asked me to do it. And I don't want to dishonor my parents because my parents love me and they have my best interests at heart. I know that. See, that's what it means to have children who are not embittered. Children who say, you know, my parents really love me and I don't want to dishonor them. I know what my parents are like. They are strict, but they're also lots of fun. I remember when I was at college, I knew a student who I was friendly with, and I asked him a question about theology, and we had, you know, as you do as 18-year-old lads, you had a bit of a discussion and argument about it, and he didn't really know what to say to me, and so his response was, "I'm going to go and ring my dad." And I thought at the time, that is really weak. You don't really, you know, you're saying, you're arguing for a position and you're not able to show me from the Bible what it says. And he went away and asked his dad and came up with the answer and then came back to me. But afterwards, I reflected on it and I thought, that is a man who really respects and honors his parents. He doesn't understand why he believes a certain thing, but he goes back to his father because he says, I don't really understand why we believe this, but I want to believe what you believe because you're my father and I honor you and I honor your faith. Now, how can we raise children who do that? How can we be parents who raise children who do that? And how can children want to obey parents like that? How can children be children who obey their parents? And how can we as parents be parents who don't provoke our children? Well, it's by focusing on the Lord. We read it at the start in verse 17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. That means, children, do everything that you do in the name of the Lord Jesus. Why are you obeying your parents? It's not for their sake, it's for the sake of the Lord Jesus. It's to please him. Parents, why are you bringing your children up in a way that's not provoking them? It's not for your sake, it's for Christ's sake, to honor him, to please him with what you do. And the only way we will do that is if we know and love Jesus Christ himself. Is if we know his approval in our life. Is if we know his acceptance. Is if we know that he loved us so much he went to the cross to die for us. To take away our sins. To bring us into God's family. To make us God's children. You see, if you know that you've been brought into God's family as God's child, you will want as a child to obey your parents who are also in the family. And if your parents, you will want to look to your heavenly father as the model of fatherhood for how you raise your children. You see, if you know the love of God yourself, you won't be wanting, and you won't be living for the approval of your children because you've got the approval of God. You won't idolize your children because you've got the acceptance of God. And so that will free you to be a loving but firm father and mother. And children, you'll want to obey and honor your parents, not because they always get it right, because they make mistakes, even as Christian parents. They'll let you down, even as Christian parents. But because you want to please your ultimate parents, your ultimate Heavenly Father. And you know that he always gets it right. And what he says is, children, obey your parents in the Lord, because that's what pleases him. And fathers, don't provoke your children. Don't embitter them. Love them. Be firm with them. And bring them up in the nurture of Christ. Let me pray that we'd all do that. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we want to be parents here at St. Clement's who love our children well. We're not too harsh with them, not too soft with them, but you bring them up, honouring you and bringing them up rather than embittered.